We want God to do a lot of things. And when he doesn't do them, we get very heartbroken. Some of us begin to doubt because we don't understand the fundamentals. None of us is perfect. We all make mistakes in our knowledge and our understanding of God, in our knowledge and our understanding of the wisdom of God. We read from the Bible, from the scriptures. We see examples from the which we learn a lot of things. Things that whet the appetite of our faith. Things that we desire to see. But lacking the necessary spiritual background behind those things. And one of which is what we've just spoken of here just now. God does not do anything that was not first finished before the foundation of the world. It doesn't. The miracles we see in the Bible, the miracles we read about, the miracles that we desire, the miracles that we want to have, they have a spiritual background. That means none of those things happened before they were finished, before the foundation of the earth. There are a lot of interesting things that we read about in the scriptures. And interesting if you want to seek understanding, or at least if you try to understand them. Jesus comes to the pool of Bethesda. It's a place that they send sick people. Because the angel of the Lord would descend once in a day. He stirs the waters. After stirring the waters, whoever jumps in first would be healed. Jesus is attracted to that site. He goes to that site by divine unction. There are only sick people there with different maladies, different issues. But you notice that Jesus does not go to all of those people. He goes only to one person. It piques one's curiosity to say, if Jesus had the spirit of God without measure, he had the spirit without measure. That means Jesus could do anything, anytime. Why would Jesus, let's borrow the word overlook. Why would Jesus overlook everybody else? The multitudes, the crowds that are sick, the crowd of sick people. Why would he overlook all of them and go to one person? And is not drawn to that person because of their faith. He's not drawn to that person because that person believes. But if you search the scriptures, he also says something interesting. He says, I do what I see my Father do. That would then mean what he went to do at Bethesda, it's what the Father had pre-revealed to him. What does this mean? That man was healed before he was healed. So Jesus went to do in the physical, he was enacting in the physical what had already been accomplished in the spirit. You and me, if we were in the feet, in the shoes of Jesus, you and me would want to heal everyone there. You and me would lay hands on everyone there. And when the people we lay hands on, they are not healed, but one, you and I would be very heartbroken. you and I would lose, we would lose our faith, perhaps. But what would be the cause of our sad state of feeling? It would be our lack of understanding of how God operates. I believe if you want to be the happiest Christian in the world, is to begin and to end with what we began with. God is sovereign. He can't be controlled by anyone's desire. He can't be controlled by anyone's prayer. He can't be controlled by anyone's need or want. He is sovereign. He does what he wants, not what another wants. When God wants, and how he wants it. Jesus Christ, he lived for 33 years and a half in Israel. His ministry was only 3 years and a half. There are many people that died. Jesus saw a lot of funerals. But he never raised the dead people except the ones that he raised. He didn't raise everyone. Why? He raised Lazarus not because Lazarus had faith. He was dead already. He raised Lazarus not because any of the sisters had faith. Of course they had none. Lord, if you had been here, charged one of the sisters, my brother would not have died. No faith whatsoever. Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. But Martha said, Lord, I know that when that time comes, my brother would rise again. Why would the Lord raise Lazarus from the dead, and yet the neighbors, loved ones, they die around Martha and Mary, he doesn't raise them? As a pastor, I have questions for God. I have serious issues with God as a pastor. As a pastor, I wish he did not choose me for ministry, because I've got questions that I have no answers to. As a pastor, I get very frustrated, especially when I cannot marry my reality and some of the things that I read about. As a pastor, I've got questions. As a pastor, I want to quit many times from working for God full time. I want to go and work in the secular and just be a normal believer. As a pastor, I get, not to say tempted, but I have those issues. Because pastor is human. And human has very limited understanding of who God is. What settles all issues in the heart of man is to understand the one pivotal thing about God, and that is the sovereignty of God. God is sovereign. When you get home, do your study and your praying on that one word, which is a life changer. God is sovereign. Many a Christian, authentic, genuine Christians who have served God with everything they knew how and that they could, they have cried to God not once, not twice, not three times. Lord, heal my loved one, and the loved one was not healed. Lord, save my loved one from dying, and the loved one died. And I believe that those believers at some point they had questions and a conflict in their heart. to say, but Lord, what have we done or not done? What did you require of us for you to heal a loved one? You see, man has beginning and end God does not have. Man lives within the limits of time God does not. Man lives within the limit of the natural, God does not. Man exists in the world, God is out of the world. Man did not create the earth, but God did. God made man, man did not make God. What man knows of God, what man knows about God is but a fraction. Man is familiar with his present reality. Man is absolutely clueless concerning his next reality. God, who dwells between the two realities, he acts, he decides, having in view those two realities. We would want nobody to die here on earth, but that's not how things are. God wants to take his children from this earth, and when he does, we have issues with him. God has promised us an eternity here on earth, and God has to achieve that. How does God achieve that? By taking us out of the earth. But we don't want him to do that. Hallelujah. Lazarus, poor Lazarus, and the rich man, Jesus tells the tale. He's poor all his life. So poor, Jesus says, that dogs were licking his wounds. God, with whom nothing is impossible, did not do anything to change or to better the state of Lazarus. He didn't. And yet the Bible says that rich man, he fed sumptuously alongside Lazarus, but could not even turn his head to look at Lazarus with an eye of compassion. But Jesus tells us that's not the end of the story. It's not the end of the story. He tells us of the poor, the formerly poor Lazarus, being taken care of and comforted in the bosom of Abraham. See, that man's mind cannot comprehend. Cannot comprehend. Our view is limited. We make judgments, decisions, determinations based on the now. How many sweet, beloved Christians have lost their little ones, children, died at the age of 2, at the age of 3, at the age of 5, at the age of 8, at the age of 10, at the age of 12, God-fearing, God-loving Christians. I believe those Christians had questions and maybe some conflicts because they did not understand. But you see, my friend, we forget a principle, a fundamental principle, that God is omniscient. He is all-knowing. Only God is omniscient. That means everyone else is at the mercy of the omniscient, the all-knowing God. What am I trying to say tonight, this morning, this day? Please don't question God when you don't understand. Please don't question God when things don't make sense to your little brain. Your little, minuscule, peanut-sized, pea-sized brain. That little peanut-sized, pea-sized brain was made by God. Your brain is limited according to the one who made it and the one who limited it. And please don't lose your faith. Don't think of yourself so important. You don't know everything. You don't even know enough there is to know. Humble yourself before the all-knowing God. Humble yourself. Humble yourself. Humble yourself before the all-knowing God. Let me submit to you. As long as we live on this earth as children of God, a lot of things are going to happen that we do not understand. Settle that in your heart and in your mind. God, you are God. Why? Oh, you are God. You can do any and everything that you want, that you decide. Anywhere, anytime, anyhow. Why? Why would you subject your son Jesus to the things you subjected him to? If you wanted God, you are God, you can override anything. You can void anything that is in effect. You don't owe men an explanation. Neither do you owe the devil an explanation. Because the devil, you made Lucifer, the son of the morning. You made him. You don't owe him anything. But why did you have to subject your son to go through the cruelty, the sheer cruelty that your son had to go through? See, our peanut-sized, pea-sized brains can never comprehend that. Come on, God could have decided, I'm going to save everyone. I'm going to make a way that does not include my son passing through this. Could have done that. Who can question God, by the way? Who can put God on trial and say, no, according to what is written, no, according to the law? Who can put God on trial? But why did God obligate himself? You and I, as long as children of God, as long as we're in this world, there will still be a myriad of things that we will never understand. Let me give you this one free of charge with a bit of a bonanza on it. Pastors don't know all things. No servant of God does. The heroes of faith we read about in the scriptures, they don't know all things. They didn't know all things. Okay, Lord, one, you are sovereign, you're omnipotent, you're all power, you're omniscient, all knowledge. Why did you subject your own disciples to martyrdom? Why did they have to die? You could protect them. You're omnipotent. Why did they have to die such painful deaths? Some of them, you called them. They didn't choose you, you chose them. You said, come, follow me. All of them but one. And Lord, why did you have to subject Paul the apostle to go through the sufferings that he went through? He was but human, flesh and blood. Now you see, my friend, this is why when Job started to question God, let me use this phrase loosely, it pissed God off. God was pissed off. He was pretty much pissed off by Job, by Job's questions without understanding. He said, okay, Job, now that you think you are a man, now you think that you are a grown up before me, stand up like a man and face me. And God says, you've been questioning me, now I'm going to question you. And you answer me, since you are so all-knowing. How does it begin to make sense? A man to lose all his grown children. How does it even begin to make sense? Why not spare the children? Why not take all my wealth? Why not give me the sores, the boils, and everything? But please spare my children. Why did my children have to go? Why did they have to die like that? What have I done? Nothing. When you come to God, humble yourself. You don't know nothing. Outsibisibe. You don't know nothing. And like that, you'll be the best friend of God. Humility and nothing but humility.
Why am I going through this? I do this right.
Peter was crucified upside down. What wrong did he do? Between me and Peter, who is holier? I know what I'm saying now is very stupid, but let's indulge each other. Between me and Peter, who is holier? Honestly speaking, and the man was crucified upside down, not having done anything wrong. As a prophet, they put him in a tree, they cut the tree, they put him inside the tree, and then they sewed him into two. What did he do wrong? Absolutely nothing. He was just a mouthpiece of God. He said exactly what God said, and he was killed for that. Between you and that prophet, who's holier? Who's holier? Narrow is the path. Humility walks the path of God. I'm a Christian, why am I sick? Okay, tell us when you get the answer. We'd really like to hear. Tell us when God gives you the answer.
I'm a Christian. Why am I sick? I'm a Christian. Why am I poor? I'm a Christian. Why do I lack? I'm a Christian. Why am I barren? I'm a Christian. Why do I go for operation?
Wow. Tell us. You are a grown-up now. Before God, you are wearing big breeches now. Well, the day he speaks, he tells you, we'll hear from you. I don't know why I'm saying these things. But I myself have questions. And through my questions, God answers me. Humility is the only way to walk with God. Stop this murmuring, grumbling, and moaning. You know nothing. Your brain is as big as a peanut. And God made it. And he put limitation in it. Now, how can you question the one who gave you the brain? The same little brain is questioning the one who made it. Can't you be ashamed? The same little brain that was made by the one who made it is questioning the one who made it. Must I remind you that you, when you die, and you're gonna die, God doesn't die. You fall sick, God never gets sick. You take tablets, God doesn't. Your body rots when you are dead. Do you know who God is? The thing is, the church has made a caricature of God, especially the charismatics. They've made a caricature. Caricature. God is ridiculed because of the church today. If you don't understand, zip it. If you don't understand, take it to God in prayer. I say, take it to God in prayer. If you understand, you do what? You do what? And take it to God in prayer. He is sovereign. He does what he wants, not what I want per se. And when he wants it, when he wants to do it, and how he wants to do it, I don't understand myself. I don't understand.
Why am I singing? I serve you. I serve you. I'm faithful to you. Oh, my friends are married. Why am I not married? I don't know myself.
Among us. I'm only human. Among us. Engwazi, the one who made me, he said, don't stop praying. That's all I know. He said, don't stop praying. Hallelujah. Did I help someone somewhere? Somewhere, somehow, somewhere. Hallelujah. I don't know where this came from, but I've got questions as a pastor. And it's in my questions that God answers me. And every time the answer is humility. 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 No zippo, humility. God is sovereign. He is sovereign. You know, you can complain and murmur, nothing will happen. You can't go where God is. You can't reach him. So your murmuring, your tirade, and all these things, they don't even touch him. He's too far away. Even if you threaten him, say, I'm not going to follow you anymore. He's quiet. Some of you say, okay, now I'm going to be a Buddhist. God is like, he's quiet. God, now I'm going to be a Muslim. God is quiet. Oh, unkulunkulu mina ngiyothwasa manje. He's quiet. He's not moved by you. By your emotional psychosis. Emotional schizophrenia does not move him. Your emotional derangement, emotional chaos, emotional stupidity and foolishness, emotional hopelessness, hopeless case. Pull yourself together. Pull yourself together. Respect yourself for once. Pull yourself together. Pull yourself together. Stop trying to analyze a God who cannot analyze. Humility. Humility. Our duty is to lead people to God. What happens is out of our hands. Our duty is what? What happens? Our duty is to shepherd you. So we shepherds, we are not supermen. We are not superheroes. We are also dependent on the grace. We are at the mercy of God. What he does, what he doesn't do, there's nothing we can do about it. But we see his goodness. He never stops doing good things. I say he never stops doing good things. But we can't control him. You know, like the slot machine, whatever machine you call it, where you put a coin and then it issues out candy. God is not like that. I wish he was like that. You just press candy, comes out. All the good things, God is not like that. Don't lose your faith because you are stupid. I'm not a seeker-friendly pastor. Whether you come back next time is none of my business. Don't lose your faith out of stupidity. Lose faith because God, I don't understand. God didn't do this. God, losing your faith because of that. Do not understand. It says the things we go through, the sufferings we pass through, are but temporary, but they are working for us a by far greater glory. Don't you understand that? A beautiful message last Sunday here was a process. Paul says to Timothy, my son, whoever wants to live godly in this life will suffer persecution. I rest my case. My son, whoever wants to live godly in this life will suffer persecution. How do you compute that? This rubbish of churches being made like it's glamour. If there is glamour to church, behind the glamour is suffering. If there is glamour to church, behind the glamour is suffering. If it's attractive to stand before the pulpit, behind the pulpit is suffering. Ask the person who stands behind it. When they take a shower, they look fresh. And you see the freshness. But you know what they go through. One lady who is now dead once said, we all love the beauty, or rather, we all see the beauty of a butterfly. But we don't appreciate what it had to go through to become that beautiful. Oh, butterfly is beautiful. But the process, the stages, the transformation, the metamorphosis that the butterfly had to go through to look that beautiful. Even nature itself speaks to us. What does Jesus say to his disciples? He gives them a promise. He says, because you left everything and you followed me, I will give you everything that you lost. Everything at all. I'll multiply it back to you. And eternal life I'll give you. What does it say? But with persecution. But with? They say, Lord, we left everything to follow. He says, no problem. I'll give you everything you left and everything you lost. I'll give it to you. And I'll throw in a bag of chips of eternal life to it. Then it says, but with persecution. Pain without God is deadly, but pain with God is glory. It's glory.